Now, someone who enjoys wine and making it and doing a very good job of that is Andrew Thomas from Thomas Wines in the Hunter. How are you, Andrew?
Good morning, boys. How are you doing?
Morning, Andrew.
Yeah, going well, thank you. Getting very thirsty at this stage in the show, as you would imagine. how's the day in the Hunter today, weather-wise?
We're a bit overcast and chilly. There's not much. It's low 20, I suppose, but it's I think going to clear and come into a pretty nice day in the end.
Oh, excellent. So, mate, you're doing some great things up there. How long have you had Thomas Wines now? How long have you been out on your own?
Look, I started the first couple of vintages. I was still at Tyrrell's just making a couple hundred cases in a mate's winery, sort of outside of my official working hours at Tyrrell's. Mm-hmm. So that was the first vintage was 97.
Yep.
And then I could see the opportunity of actually going out alone and doing my own label full time. So I left Tyrrell's the end of 99. So I guess in earnest, I've sort of been going at it a bit more seriously since 2000. So nearly 20 years.
You'll celebrate that somehow, I would imagine.
Oh, we celebrate every year.
That's a good point. So, yeah, you can probably say, 21 years since 97, and then you keep making excuses for all sorts of things.
Yeah, overnight success.
Are originally a McLaren Vale boy.
That's right. I was actually just back down there a few weeks ago judging at the McLaren Vale Wine Show, so that's my second year back there at the show, which is it's a great little show. It's a lot of reds, obviously. I think out of 800 entries, there was only about 40 or 50 whites.
Right.
Says a lot about the region. But it's nice to go back home and spend a week down there and look at all the new wines that are coming out of the region.
So you, as part of that, there was the Grenache challenge, wasn't it?
James Sallet's Grenache. That was on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And that took pretty much the whole day. It's just the second year of that Grenache challenge. And I think the entries had virtually doubled since last year.
And that's Grenache from around Australia then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's open to producers all over Australia. So we don't judge the McLaren Vale entries twice. The McLaren Vale Grenache entries in that show, the results of that show are the results of the McLaren Vale One show as well.
Yeah, right. So, that's the same as the Halliday Chardonnay Challenge in the Yarra Valley. So are you doing a bit of judging around Australia, or is
I do. It's one of those things, and you've got a business to run, you've got family at home. I'm always away doing sort of promotional stuff out in the trade as well. So, wine judging is a really good thing to do, and everyone that judges really enjoys it. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
But you just can't do everything. So I limit myself to three, maybe four shows a year.
So tell me, Andy, what brought you to go from South Australia to the Hunter?
Basically the way it happened was not by accident, I suppose, but during my time at Roseworthy, part of the course is last year you go out and do a vintage somewhere. And then write a report about it and your assessment on that sort of thing. And I actually came up and I did a bit of work at Tyrrell's in my last year at Roseworthy. And then later on that year, someone had left Tyrrell's and had opened up a position. They got in touch with me and offered me a job, assistant winemaker, which I thought would be a great start to my career.
Brilliant.
So moved to the Hunter. No real sort of long-term plans. In fact, recalling the time, I think I had in my mind that, maybe 2, 3, 4 years, I'd probably end up heading back to SA. And that was about 32, 33 years ago.
Right.
I forgot to check my watch.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you, I think before I moved to the Hunter, I had that ingrown sort of chromosome in my DNA that all South Australians have, which gives you a sort of a loathsome disrespect for the Hunter Valley. But it didn't take long, particularly working for such a great company like Tyrrell's. to gain a real deep understanding and respect for the wines, particularly the top wines that are produced up here. And once you get in your head what sort of makes the Hunter Valley tick, it's hard to shake. And honestly, whilst you probably don't see a lot of Hunter wines down your way, the best examples from the vestiges up here are absolutely world class, particularly our signature variety, Semillon and Shiraz.
Again, see the Semillon, it's probably one of my most favourite. Well, look, I know critics worldwide refer to the Semillon out of the Hunter as a gift from Australia to the world, and it is a brilliant varietal. But a lot of people don't know it, don't understand it.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's the problem that we come up against all the time. So everyone in the industry and everyone in the trade just absolutely adores Hunter Semillon.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're continually scratching our heads, sort of wondering why people aren't just sort of flocking to it. It's not a varietal that leaps off the restaurant list or the retail shelf. And I don't know. It's hard to explain. I think part of it, people are a bit scared. Like, do we call it Semillon or do we call it Semillon?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to drink it as a young wine? Are we supposed to drink it as an aged wine? And it's just like there's too many factors that people aren't too sure about. So they tend to avoid it. But what we do find is that people that are unfamiliar with Semillon, Hunter Semillon in particular, as soon as I'm doing trade shows and consumer events all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
As soon as they get a glass in their hand for the first time, and I've got to say, particularly if it's a sunny day, because young Hunter Semillon always tastes better when the sun's shining. Once they get a glass in their hand and they taste it the first time, and you tell them, freshly shucked oysters, bucket of prawn, tuna, pan-fried whiting fillet. Oh, you're getting hungry.
God.
And honestly, once they've got it in their first taste and they're drinking the wine in the right context, they're over the line forever, and they're they're devotees and ambassadors for Hunter Semillon moving forward.
That is so true. Previously, I used to work in a fine wine store, and I remember chatting to a customer one day, and I said, "Have you ever tried a Hunter Semillon?" And she said, "Oh no, you don't drink that. That's what you blend." And I opened a bottle for her. And I converted her literally in the space of half an hour, and she does not buy anything else but Hunter Semillon.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't believe it. She did, again, as you were saying, they don't understand the wine, but once you educate them or show them and let them try it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It just takes their first sip. And listen, I think that the other problem is that there is, I think, this old-fashioned perception that Hunter Semillon needs to be aged before you go near it. And that was probably a fair call, let's say 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when I think one of the differences is that back in those days, the growers were making all the decisions. So if they saw a cloud in the sky, they'd shoot themselves and want to pick, and everything was coming a little bit too, just underripe.
And,
Semillon that doesn't sort of push through that herbal ripeness barrier is so lean and austere and unforgiving, it really doesn't have a lot to give. And those wines really did need that sort of 4 or 5 or 6 years in the bottle before they started to develop that lovely toasty complexity we see in Hunter Semillon. But the situation's changed a bit these days where I think as a region, we've got a much better handle on viticulture, growing Semillon from a viticultural point of view, and being able to leave the fruit out a bit longer. But a lot of the picking decisions these days have been made by either vignerons or winemakers. So we don't really want to produce those really lean or spear styles. We want to produce wines that have early drinking appeal, approachability, and that's definitely a big change that's happened in the Hunter, I would say, most particularly over the last 10 years. Because we want people to enjoy, Hunter Semillon as a young wine. Of course, we're obviously very proud of that very unique style that we produced of Semillon was in bottle age.
Yeah.
And the very best examples from the best vineyards are a lovely each way bet. My Braymore, which is my flagship single vineyard Semillon, that's a perfect example. It's just grown on a particular soil that makes it it has an intensity and concentration as a young wine to give it some early drinking appeal. But it does, you know, we're producing that style without compromising its longevity, and yeah. You know, that's been proven over the years to have wonderful longevity.
Andrew, is it right to say that last part of the ripening process before harvest is actually where the flavour really builds?
Absolutely.
So on your earlier point, you know, shitting yourself and actually picking it early because you're worried about rain takes away, that's exactly what you're taking away, the flavour building.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so you're producing wine that's so pale and austere, it's really not an enjoyable drink. This is the old-fashioned style.
Yeah.
But having said that, those really lean styles, they can have remarkable cellaring potential. But the trouble is, you've got to give it at least that 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
If it takes that long.
It's only going to do that, as opposed to what you're saying is we can give you, you know, look at half the box now and then save half the box for 10 years down the track.
Yep. And so the more contemporary style of Hunter Simeon is very much beautifully drinkable in the first year or two.
Mm.
Well, see, it goes back to what we were saying before with Camo from Four Pillars. That today's, they prefer to drink quality, not quantity. So, and you get something like a good Hunter Simeon in the hand now.
Mm.
Perfect.
So, absolutely.
Are we saying swap out your New Zealand Seb Blanc and get a Hunter Simeon?
Well, you know, I mean, I will say one of the great things that the Southern Army that's happened out of Marlborough with Savvy, you've got to look at the positive side. It's got a lot of people drinking wine that perhaps wouldn't have been drinking wine if it wasn't for Marlborough Sauv Blanc. We do find that those people who are getting into wine through Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, sooner or later, their palate matures to a point where they get a bit sick of the sameness of Marlborough Sauv, and their palates are sort of craving to explore other varieties. And I've got a Sauvignon Blanc in my range, and we don't do Savvy very well up here, but I get some juice sent up from the mate in the Adelaide Hills, and we ferment the Savvy and the Hunter and then blend it with Sauvignon, and it's roughly 50-50. I kind of describe that wine as just another way of presenting Hunter Sauvignon. It obviously ticks that Sauvignon Blanc box.
Yep.
For the savvy lovers, but it's like deep down, it's my sneaky way of getting the savvy, the Sauvignon Blanc drinkers onto something a little more intellectual, into my sort of gateway wine to move from Sauv to something like Hunter Sauvignon.
Yeah, look, and again, you know, send our love to all our New Zealand friends, but you are so right. The Sauv Blanc did open up the market for a lot of the, as you say, the younger generation. See, my daughter loves, she's got a great palate, unfortunately, and she will, you know, she loves a Chardonnay as well now, because when she, you know, she's only 21 now, but when she first started drinking, you start on the Sauv Blanc, because that was all the fruity and the kids love it, and then you slowly educate them on to, hey, Dale, try this, and next thing you know, yeah, she's got this a great palate where she just loves quality, you know, and again, it's trying to get her to then look at other varietals that she doesn't understand, i.e. something like your own. So you say, oh, look, try the blend, Dale, and that'll get them looking into it and you know, trying these different varietals.
Yeah. I mean, the structural core of that wine is that lovely, you know, pure and precise citrus drive and that line of acidity, but it's just shrouded by those lovely tropical fruit salad characters. Savvy, so I feel comfortable with that. But then, you know, it's a wine that's a bit different to the, you know, the Sauvignon Blanc they're drinking because of that structural core. And it's my little sneaky way of getting Savvy drunk, Sauvignon Blanc drinkers over the line. It's kind of fun.
Very good. Andrew, we're sort of nearly out of time, but tell me your cellar door. When are you open every day with that? Or
yep, 7 days a week, 10 till 5.
Excellent.
And we're pretty easy to find. We're pretty much in the centre of the Colburn for anyone coming up to the Hunter Valley. Just Google us and it'll come up exactly where we are. We're on Hendidge Road, so it's a beautiful location. It's a really nice cellar door. It's sort of the opposite of rustic. It's, you know, kind of, it kind of feels right for my brand. It's sort of nice straight lines and symmetry and and a little more sort of contemporary than perhaps a lot of the other cellar doors around the place. And I've been open now. I took over that space almost exactly 3 years ago, and it's been absolutely fantastic.
Good on you.
Look, that it's certainly and look, it's not that difficult really out of Sydney to get to the Hunter, and it's a must do really if you know as you say, Victorians and South Australians maybe have this thing of that's the Hunter, whatever, but it's a fantastic region. It changes your prejudice immediately driving in there, I reckon.
There's nothing like actually going to a region and getting a sort of deep appreciation of the wines there. You know, you've got to see the landscape and the rolling, the undulating landscape. And I went to Margaret River for the very first time about a month ago, and man, what a beautiful region that is, and the wines are pretty good too. But I've drunk Margaret River wines all my life, but never had been there, and now I obviously know the lay of the land and which vineyard to wear, and it just gives you a much deeper understanding of what makes the region tick.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, if your guys, from Sydney, particularly now the Hunter Expressway is there, people can come up here, they can get to the Hunter in 2 hours.
I was going to say 2 hours.
But then from Melbourne, you can get a flight direct into Newcastle Airport, and it's about a 45-minute drive from out there.
Well, that's the answer.
It's pretty easy, and the flights, they're pretty cheap too, especially if you time it right. So it's not hard to get up here, and we would all love to see you and welcome you with open arms.
Excellent, and I reckon you definitely need a few days because there's a lot to explore.
There is. If you can spare 2 or 3 days, you'll get to see a hell of a lot more. And I guess a little tip, if you can come up through the week, even better, because you get a lot more personal attention. The weekends can be quite busy.
Yeah.
Not to say you don't get that personal attention on the weekends, but you're sort of competing with everyone else.
Yeah, sure.
Through the week, it depends on the day a little bit, but you'll get a lot more, you get to see a lot more and get a lot more close up and personal attention through the week.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, well, I reckon that's the tip. Newcastle, 45 minutes.
One wood down the road.
And you're at Thomas Wines, and you're enjoying glass of Semillon.
Andrew, you won last year, 2017, Cellar Door of the Year.
Yes, we did.
Is that right? Yeah.
We did. That was nice, because we'd only been open for, 18 months when the award was announced. When people come to our place, we do have quite a unique offering, because we're the only producer out of 140-odd here in the Hunter that focuses solely on the signature varieties of the Hunter, i.e. Semillon and Shiraz. We're the only ones that it's a bit of a, we present the wines in a fun environment, but you go on a little bit of a journey and you sort of delve a little bit deeper into exploring what makes Hunter Semillon and Shiraz tick. And at the top end, it's all about single vineyard examples. And I guess the key with when you're just focusing on a single variety, let's say Semillon, is stylistic diversity, and that comes from the different soils and the different characters that each of the vineyards that we have in our range present in the wines. And it's a really interesting thing to do, and I've got some really good staff in there. Occasionally I'm there myself. I worked there all day yesterday, and everyone just has a great time, and you know what, they walk out the door just a little bit wiser about what makes Hunter Semillon and Shiraz tick too, and that's a win.
Going to the region, as you said, Andy, going to the region.
Yep.
Absolutely, yep.
Awesome.
Right, bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be up there shortly, I reckon. So thanks, Andrew. It was great to have a chat. And
my pleasure, guys. Good to chat.
We'll do it again.
We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate.